They were known only by a whisper on the wind. The Phantom Teams. Birth of the Ghost Unit. The year was 1964. The war in Vietnam was beginning to spiral. American advisors were becoming combatants, and enemy forces seemed to multiply with each passing week. Conventional military tactics were failing. Search and destroy missions couldn't root out guerrilla cells hiding in villages and tunnels. The North Vietnamese supply chain, spanning Laos and Cambodia through the Ho Chi Minh Trail, remained a mystery no satellite could fully map. The Pentagon needed answers. The CIA needed eyes and ears on the ground. And the Joint Chiefs wanted blood. So MACVSOG was born. The Military Assistance Command, Vietnam, Studies and Observations Group. Its name was deliberately vague. Studies and Observations sounded harmless, almost academic. In truth, it was a front for what would become the most secretive special operations unit in modern U.S. history. But even within SOG's clandestine structure, there was a need for something sharper, faster, colder. That's when Phantom Teams were quietly formed. These weren't just recon units. They were surgical instruments of sabotage, assassination, and deep intelligence work. Designed to slip across borders undetected, observe, report, and if necessary, strike like ghosts and vanish before the enemy knew what hit them. No patches, no paper trail. Phantom Team operatives were the definition of deniable. No insignias, no dog tags, no formal records. If they died, they were listed as missing. If they were captured, they were disavowed. The U.S. government would not confirm their existence, because officially they didn't exist. That meant no rules. The Geneva Conventions, irrelevant. These teams operated outside the lines of traditional warfare, often in countries the U.S. was not legally allowed to fight in. Their missions were over the fence, a grim phrase that meant going into forbidden territory, such as Cambodia or Laos, and never being seen. The fence wasn't physical, it was political. A line drawn on a map that meant if you crossed it, no one was coming to save you. And the men who signed up for these missions? They didn't want saving. They wanted action. They wanted purpose. They wanted the kind of war that only men with nothing left to prove ever walk into. Recruiting the forgotten elite. Phantom Teams weren't built from raw recruits. These were warriors drawn from the Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Marine Force Recon, and the CIA's own paramilitary units. But it wasn't enough to be tough. You had to be cold, calculating, and quiet. Recruiters looked for the kind of man who didn't talk much, who stayed calm in chaos, and who could think two steps ahead of an ambush. Many had seen years of combat already. Some were running from personal demons. Others were simply born for the darkness. They trained in complete isolation. Simulated border crossings, language immersion, silent movement, communications discipline, demolitions, knife work, tactical deception. Every man learned how to fake his death, leave no footprint, and disappear into the foliage like a jungle phantom. Failure wasn't corrected, it was cold. If a man froze under pressure, he was out. If he couldn't survive without a supply chain, he was out. The standards were ruthless, and intentionally so, because the battlefield they were heading into had no mercy. A war without boundaries. By the mid-1960s, the Vietnam War was no longer confined to Vietnam. The Ho Chi Minh Trail, a sprawling logistics highway of footpaths, trucks, and tunnels, ran through the neighboring countries of Laos and Cambodia. The North Vietnamese used it to ferry weapons, troops, and supplies right under the noses of the American military. The problem? U.S. forces weren't authorized to operate